Sorry, I wanted to talk about this story about 11 ridiculously overdue library books that were finally returned. Now, Dan, did you ever not return a library book for a really long time?
It still rues me to this day because it's on my brother's desk in his bedroom at my parents' house because I could not find the Odyssey. I took out the Odyssey by Homer. I want to say in between eighth and high school, freshman year of high school, because I had it was on the docket, so I wanted to get a jump on it.
Yeah. Well, and that's a book you want to get a jump on.
Yeah. And so I lost it, and I was so angry about it. And I went up to the Jefferson Park librarian lady at the desk, and I said I lost it, and she'd be like, it's $18.96, which I paid, even though I didn't have any money. And then I found it like 3 or 4 months later. And like I said, it's still sitting on my brother's desk right now.
Where was it? How did you lose it?
You know, it fell behind my bed or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I obviously did not do a good job looking for it. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Did you read it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, good. Good. How did you do on your book report?
I did fine.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a good book.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. Let's see. Vic, you ever not return a library book?
Yeah, here in Chicago, the Chicago Public Library was very. You know, Mayor Emanuel has a program where once a year you can take in.
Yeah,
yeah, and so,
it's like parking tickets.
Right.
Everyone, you know, like everyone.
Yeah, but there's a catch to that parking ticket one. Right. It only there's a catch. It has to be within the last like year and a half or 2 years. With the library thing, there was no catch.
Oh.
I mean, I guess you could have a book that you've had for 10 years and they'll take it. But
we've got some books on here that have been out much longer than 10 years.
I've heard stories.
Yeah. Do you remember what book it was?
I do not remember. Knowing me, it was probably something like Ernest Hemingway or I don't remember, but it ended up being, it was very low, like $1.80 or something.
Yeah,
charge a penny every month.
What do they charge?
I don't know, but I think I had it for a little over a year, and it was like $1. It was less than $2.
I can't remember.
It's 10 cents, I believe.
10 cents of what?
What, a
day?
Year?
It's 10 cents a day.
I think
they must stop or something and have a cap. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a cap on
it. Okay.
Yeah, because it's still 10 cents? Because I remember it being like 10 cents a long time ago.
No, I think it's always 10 cents.
Always?
According to the Chicago Public Library, it is now 25 cents a day.
Oh.
Maximum overdue fine of $10.
Well, I don't know what I have with mine. Maybe mine's...
The maximum overdue fine is 10 bucks?
Apparently you can't be charged any more than 10 bucks.
Wow.
Per book.
Well, yeah. But still, that seems low to me. I don't know why. That's
where was that in 1994 Chicago Public Library?
Yeah.
I did this like 2-3 years ago.
Well, that's I think the $10 is if you bring the book back, the most that you can bring. If you don't bring the book back and you lose
yeah.
it, you got to pay for the book. That's the difference
right.
between the $18.69 that you had to pay and the $10.
Right. If you have fines, fees exceeding $10 or lost materials on your account, you're unable to check out books.
Yeah. So, Esmeralda, what about you? Do you ever have a book way overdue?
I've had them maybe. I've had the $10 limit. But I've always returned them. I've never kept a book. But I've always returned them. But I've always had, there was a point in time where I didn't go for months because I owed them money.
Mm-hmm.
And I never had cash on me. And they did get rid of it with that, with that thing that Vic was talking about, and I felt bad because I was like, "No, I wanted to give you guys that money."
Mm.
But I always leave them out too long. I feel bad, but I bring them back. I never lose them.
Do they charge the same for movies? Like if you rent?
I have no idea.
If you get a movie from the library, is it the same charge?
DVD and VHS are $1 a day, and maximum overdue fine is $10.
Wow!
And I'd be like, I'm taking this DVD with me then.
Yeah. I think the most I've had is maybe $20.
I'm trying to remember if I know that I've had overdue books. There's no question about it because I used to go to the library every Saturday. That was when I was a kid. My friend Dan Long, no relation. But when I was growing up, my best friend was a guy named Dan Long. And our Saturday afternoons would consist of going to the Hild Library on Lincoln Avenue, which is now the Old Town School of Folk, which we will be performing live at a week from Saturday, doing Wood Esmeralda by That live as part of the Chicago Podcast
Festival. Where can I get tickets to that?
You can get tickets on at WGNRadio.com/events.
Huh. Are we the only show?
No, there's a bunch more, but I'm going to plug that a little bit later officially, so I'll get to that later.
I still Fine. Enjoy going to Harold Washington Library to yeah. just go and explore. It's amazing.
It's beautiful. But the Hild Library, where the Old Town School of Folk, it was the best library ever. And the library in Lincoln Square now is across the street a few blocks south. What's the name of that library? Is it? It's not
Sulzer.
It's Sulzer, right, exactly, mm-hmm. Sulzer. Well, it used to be called the Hild Library, H-I-L-D. And it was just a wonderful place, man. I mean, it was three levels, three stories, and the bookcases were circular, and you could see all the books as you walked into the building that you could look up to the ceiling. It was a beautiful library, and I spent my friend Dan and I, we would go to the library, hang out at Hild Library, and read a bunch of stuff and check out some books. And then we'd go to the Davis and see a double feature every Saturday. That was what we did. So I know for a fact that I had books out long, but I don't think I ever had a book that I kept out, you know, where I had to pay an excessive amount of fees, or I kept a book and stole it. I've never done that. But we used to check out books every Saturday. That was just what we did. Check out books at the Hild Library and then go see whatever movies were playing at the Davis. I was a nerd.
I do that now. Yeah. Well, I don't go to the movies, but I go to the library yeah. and check books out.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was just, you know, it's just strange, you know, for like a, you know, a 11-year-old kid to do that every Saturday, you know. And then we'd finish doing that, and then we'd slap each other in the face with Hot Wheels tracks.
I love that stuff. That's true, man.
We were all sophisticated, going to see movies and renting, you know, and checking out books. But then we'd throw bottles at each other in the alley.
I was going to say, did you also check out those Hot Wheel tracks at the library?
At the library, or? We'd bring them back and slap each other in the mouth with them.
Have BB gun wars. One pump only.
We did that. Did you used to do that, Vic?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
One pump only was the rule.
That was the thing. Don't pump it more than once. Because yep. otherwise, because I mean, I can't tell you the number of times and I've had a BB go under the skin and I had to, like, you know.
Even a one pump, unless they were cheating, will leave a little purple dot.
Oh, no question about it. Yeah, no question about it. Yeah. No, we had a lot of BB gun wars. It's not good. It was the 70s, man.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, anyway, we've got some. So here's the story that inspired this. Last week, Massachusetts Attleboro Public Library received a big surprise when one of its regular patrons returned a copy of T.S. Arthur's The Young Lady at Home more than 78 years after it had been checked out. 78 years. The library, the man whose name was not revealed, was reportedly helping a friend clean out his basement when he noticed it across the. He came across the tome. He recognized the library stamp, then noticed the original date was November 21st, 1938. We were amazed, said Amy Rilliger, who is the library's assistant director. I've worked here for 15 years. I've never seen anything like this before. Because the library charges 10 cents a day for overdue books, the total bill on the Dusty Reed would come to about $2,800. But the library isn't planning on cashing in. We are not the library police, she said. We're not tracking everyone's things. Everyone returns things a few days late. It's one thing that we joke about here. It's rare that there's decades overdue books that are returned, but not unprecedented. And here are 11 more tardy returns. Okay, so we're going to talk about that. If you guys want to confess, perhaps you have a book in your possession that you should have brought back to the library a number of years ago. 312-981-7200. $2,800 they would have had to have paid. So I guess the rules in this part of Massachusetts are different, because they charge 10 cents a day, and they said that the total bill would have been $2,800. So I guess they do go past $10. Clearly. So, all right, let's take a break. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Talk and text. You have any overdue library books? You have any stories about that? Call us up, 312-981-7200. 78 years. That's pretty impressive. So we all know that that's Carry On My Wayward Son by Kansas. Does Morelli care to take a guess at who's covering that?
Is that... That's not Me First in the Gimme Gimmes, is it?
No. It was Gwar.
Ah.
Patrick requested Gwar's cover of Carry On My Wayward Son on Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, man. Wild Card Wednesday, yeah. Any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Hey, those guys, those Gimme Gimme, Big Johnny and the Gimme Gimmes, what the hell are they calling?
Me First. And the Gimme Gimmes.
All they did was covers, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
All they had were, they just released CDs of just covers.
Yes.
I thought they were great. We had some of their CDs on at Simon's, on the jukebox at Simon's. So, all right, we're talking about library books that are overdue, and some of them legendarily overdue. 78 years after T.S. Arthur's The Young Lady at Home was checked out at the library in Massachusetts, it was brought back. It was the total bill was up to $2,800, but they didn't collect on it, and it was brought back finally. So here are some more long overdue books. Let's see. The Versatile Grain and the Elegant Bean, a celebration of the world's most healthful foods. Wow. Dan, doesn't that sound like a fascinating read?
I fell asleep as you were reading the title.
The Versatile Grain and the Elegant Bean. A celebration of the world's most healthful foods, written by Cheryl and Mel London. It was loaned from the Lawrence Public Library in Lawrence, Kansas. How long was it overdue? 21 years. See, they probably fell asleep, Dan, and just left it somewhere.
Yeah, some Rip Van Winkle action.
The Versatile Grain and the Elegant Bean, 21 years overdue. In 2014, someone anonymously returned this fitness-friendly cookbook, which has been missing since September 24, 1992. The volume was published that April. It contains over 300 recipes, and it's probably safe to assume that the culprit had plenty of time to try out every single one of them. Mm. Okay, here's the... Here's the next one. The Real Book About Snakes by Jane Sherman. The Real Book About Snakes by Jane Sherman was on loan from the Champaign County Library in Urbana, Ohio. Is every, you know, in Ohio, is every Champaign accompanied by an Urbana in the entire country? Not just Illinois, in Ohio, the same thing? All right, Esmeralda, care to take a crack at how many years overdue it was? The Real Book About Snakes.
25.
41 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Like the previous entry, whoever turned in this musty old field guide declined to reveal his name, but lest anyone question the man's honesty, he also left the following note, quote, "Sorry I've kept this book so long, but I'm a really slow reader. I've enclosed my fine of $299.30. That would be 41 years, 2 cents a day. Again, my apologies." He left the money. He left the money. I'm a really slow reader. Hang on a minute. Hold it now. All right. Okay, next. Days and Deeds, a book of verse for children's reading and speaking. Compiled by Burton and Elizabeth Stevenson. Days and Deeds, a book of verse for children's reading and speaking. On loan from the Kewaunee Public Library in Kewaunee, Illinois. How about that? Somebody from Kewaunee want to call in and admit this? All right, how many years overdue, Esmeralda?
35.
47!
What?
47 years. According to Guinness World Records, the $345.14 fee paid by the borrower of this lyrical compilation stands as the highest library fine ever paid. $345.14 for the Days and Deed Book of Verse So, Kewaunee Public Library. Okay. All right. How about this one, Esmeralda? The Fire of Francis Xavier by Arthur R. McGrady. It was on loan from the New York Public Library, Fort Washington branch in New York, New York. The Fire of Francis Xavier. How many years overdue?
60.
Ooh, nice try. 55.
Ah.
55 years. In 2013, this one was discreetly mailed in, and the perpetrator was never brought to justice. He didn't even leave a note like the other guy did.
How do they even know it's missing? Just because it shows up?
Well, it's recorded in their Dewey Decimal System.
Well, then wouldn't they know who took it out?
That's a good point, I think.
I think one of the later examples, they say because it's like 60 years old.
Oh, they have records back then.
They get lost in fires. They,
right.
You know, they don't get transferred.
If it's that long. And now everything's computerized anyway.
Yeah,
right.
That's what I was thinking.
Now you would be able to track somebody down. But
exactly.
Back then, when it was just the library writing it down on a sheet of paper.
So. Okay. Well, I mean, at that point, if you've had the book for 55 years, why, what? Dan, can you get the Odyssey, return it, and get your money back?
Probably not.
Come on, man!
You should return it, though. I think that would be funny.
If you return, no note, or not, I'm a slow reader. I mean, well, I'm a slow reader, and my God, it's Homer. So give me a break. It took me a while to read this. So, all right, we got to take a break. We got the news. Oh, I'm turning off my own mic early because I'm an idiot. I was in the middle of speaking and I turned my mic off. This is why I have a plaque downstairs in that sidewalk, because I'm a professional broadcaster. The news is next and WGN.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah. Well, I would like to just remind everybody that this is the only number one song that Chuck Berry ever had. I would just like to have that sink in for a minute. Chuck Berry, the inventor of rock and roll, had one number one hit, and it was a novelty song called My Ding-a-Ling. So, that wasn't Johnny B. Good or anything like that. It was My Ding-a-Ling. That's 872 requested Chuck Berry's number one hit, My Ding-a-Ling, for Wildcard Wednesday year! 312-981-7200 for your Wildcard Wednesday requests. Any song, anything. So, 312-981-7200. Coming up in just a little bit, Skip Skipley is en route in the jet. And we will have another edition of the pop-up video for the radio, and Esmeralda will sing and Cats will drown. And Dave Bennett will be carried in by his army of feline psychic cats. So, we're talking about ridiculously overdue books from the library, and we've got some texts coming in from people on this topic. And if you would like to join us, it's 312-981-7200. We've got more of these ridiculously overdue books coming up. Judy sends in a text that says, I'm a blind person, and we also loved the Hild Library because of their extensive collection of Braille books. Yeah, it really was a beautiful place, man. It really was. Dan, was it closed? Yeah, I mean, because you didn't grow up very far from there. Did you ever go to the Hild Library when you were a kid?
I spent time over there because my grandma lived over there. It was closed by the time I had become Sulzer by that point.
Yeah. It was a beautiful place. Beautiful place. And when you walk into the Old Town School of Folk, as I hope you do on Saturday, October 7th, they've kept some of the facade the same. When you walk in, it's like the last time I went to the Old Town School of Folk, as soon as I walked into they still have like the sort of the vestibule that you could walk into. And I was like, oh, man, like some of the fixtures were the same and the banisters and stuff. And it brought back like 8 tons of memories for me. So every time I walk into the front of the Old Town School of Folk, because they've left certain things the same. It was just a beautiful place. It was just a beautiful library. They've got to have pictures online of the Hild Library. I bet if you just, like, Google imaged Hild Library, Chicago, H-A-L-D, they probably have some interior shots of just what a lovely library that place was. It really was. Okay. Here's a good one, Esmeralda. Here's a good question from the 312 area code. Which book did you find was the best to hit your friends with? That's a good question.
Oh, yeah. I would think the heavier the better, but yeah, then that might slow you down.
Yeah, well, to inflict the most pain, I believe probably the heavier the better. You know? Like, start with Moby Dick.
Or maybe go with a book that's a tad bit longer.
Yeah, start with that and then just continue onward. You know? End with a big, thick dictionary and smash the guy across the face with it. Kathy says, I checked out a book on Australia out at school for a report in junior high. I lost it, paid for it, and I ran across it 40 years later, and I still have it. That's amazing. You could lose a book for 40 years. Byrne said, I took out the Little Book of Talent back in 2013. It was due on April 12th. I took it out with a friend's card, and I'm waiting for an amnesty day. My personal library account is clean. Sure, take it out on your buddy's card. That's real nice. The Little Book of Talents. I'm intrigued by that title. The Little Book of Talent. Okay. There you go.
It's a manual for building a faster brain and a better you.
Wow.
An easy-to-use handbook of scientifically proven, field-tested methods to improve skills, your skills, your kids' skills, your organization skills, in sports, music, art, math, and business.
Clearly it didn't work for the for the person because
right?
They didn't bring the damn book back. the Little Book of Talent does not work, evidently. Full of bad advice, like don't bring back library books.
And take it out from your friend's account.
Your friend's account. I wonder if this guy's getting phone calls.
I don't think they bother you.
Yeah, they don't?
I don't think so. I mean, at least nowadays, you just get a message once, and then you never hear from them.
Do they, like, send you emails? I'm assuming they have your email address, right?
They do and they don't. They'll send one when it's overdue.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't hear from them. You have to, like, go into your account, or when you do go to the library, they'll tell you that it's overdue.
You ever get phone calls when years ago from video stores? You ever get
No. I was responsible.
I used to get phone calls. listen, excuse me, Mr. DeGiglio, because they would never know my name, you know, Mr. Giglio. Listen, could you please bring back Evil Dead 2? You've had it for 4 months. All right. Here's the next one on the list, Esmeralda. Take a guess at how many years this one was overdue. The Adventures of Pinocchio by Carlo Collodi from the Rugby Library in Warwick, England.
78.
Oh. 63.
Darn.
63 years. The item was found on its way home during an 8-day fines amnesty period, which shielded the guilty person from a 4,000-pound penalty. It's amazing to think how much the library has changed since the book was taken out in 1950, they said. So the book was taken out in 1950. And it was a fines amnesty period. Boy, that's a smart thing to do, right? Maybe this guy read the Little Book of Talent, brought it back on Amnesty Week. Okay, next, The Picture of Dorian Gray by Oscar Wilde. Right here in Chicago, the Chicago Public Library in Chicago, Illinois. Which branch? They didn't say which branch. Be interested to see this one. Okay, this is right here as a hometowner one. All right? On loan from the Chicago Public Library in Chicago, Illinois, The Picture of Dorian Gray by Oscar Wilde, which, by the way, is a fantastic book. How many years overdue, Esmeralda?
70.
78.
Darn.
78 years. Harlene Hoffman Vision found a rare edition of this novel nestled against her late mother's personal effects and vowed to set things right. She kept saying, "You're not going to arrest me," recalled the marketing director, Ruth Lednesser. And we said, "No, we're so happy you brought it back." I would love to know what branch that was. To return the picture of Dorian Gray. So if you get a book that's like that's that old, okay? And I'm assuming the book was probably old before they checked it out. Picture of Dorian Gray is a pretty old book. So what kind of condition? I wonder what kind of condition the book is. And would they put it back on the shelf?
I mean, if it's just been sitting around, I mean, sometimes it could be in pretty good condition.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. I would love to have a copy of a book that old. Especially a cool book like The Picture of Dorian Gray. Have you ever read that book, Esmeralda?
No.
Oh, it's so good. They made a really great creepy movie out of it, too. It freaked me out when I was a kid. That movie freaked me out when I was a kid. Whew. You know, I'm convinced Machen Amick, you remember Machen Amick, Esmeralda, from Twin Peaks?
The dad?
No, Machen Amick is a girl.
Oh.
She was one of the girls. She was Sherilyn Fenn and that whole, you know, that whole group of girls. She was one of them. She was a waitress. She played one of the waitresses. Anyway, Machen Amick, when I first saw her on the reboot of Twin Peaks, the latest season of Twin Peaks, she looked exactly the same as she did in 1990. Exactly the same. I'm convinced she's got a portrait of herself in her attic. that's the thing that's aging, and she's not. I'm convinced there's a portrait of Machen Amick in her attic.
Oh, I think I saw a Are You Afraid of the Dark episode of that.
Oh, they did a takeoff on Dorian Gray?
They might have. I mean, it sounds familiar.
It's such a classic story, and you know, especially in the genre of horror, you know. Yeah. But anyway, Machen Amick, I'm convinced. Portrait in her. Somebody should check Machen Amick's attic. Because there's a portrait of an old version of her in there. So, all right. Okay, we got a break here. We got weather, we got traffic, and we'll come back and we'll talk more about these overdue books. Want to hear from you at 312-981-7200. We also got a couple of food stories that we're going to get to as well. And pop-up video on the radio a little bit later on. Wildcard Wednesday continues. That's Joan Jett with Crimson and Clover. 773 area code requested that. Wild Card Wednesday, that means any song, any artist, anything, 312-981-7200. And we've been talking about overdue library books that have been overdue for years and years. So here's the next one. Masters of Men by E. Phillips Oppenheim, on loan from the Leicester County Library in England. Esmeralda, take a crack at how many years. I just want you to know that with each successive entry here, they were taken out longer. So the last one was 78 years.
83.
79. Oppenheim was born in the surrounding region. Hence, the county council was thrilled to reclaim this piece of their literary heritage after it turned up in a nearby house, even though the library branch it originally belonged to had shut down decades earlier. All right. How about this next one is, Facts I Ought to Know About the Government of My Country. Boy, that title just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? Facts I Ought to Know About the Government of My Country by William H. Bartlett, loaned from the New Bedford Public Library in New Bedford, Massachusetts. All right. How many years, Esmeralda?
80.
99 years overdue. Stanley Dudek of Mansfield, Massachusetts, claims that his mother, a Polish immigrant, decided to brush up on American politics by borrowing this volume from the New Bedford Library in 1910. For a person who was becoming a citizen, it was a perfect book for her. All right, how about this one? Insectivorous Plants by Charles Darwin. From the Camden School of Arts, Lending Library in Sydney, Australia.
We go 101.
122 years. An Australian copy of Darwin's book on bug-eating flora was borrowed in 1889. After two world wars, Neil Armstrong's moon landing, and the birth of the internet, it was finally returned on July 22nd, 2011. There's got to be a story behind that. All right. Two more here, Esmeralda. The Ancient History of the Egyptians, Carthaginians, Assyrians, Babylonians, and Persians, Macedonians, and Grecians, Volume 2, by Charles Rowland. Boy, in the early days, they really knew how to title a book, I'll tell you. That's a snappy title right there. The Grace Doherty Library in Danville, Kentucky. How many years?
120.
150.
Darn.
150 years. In 2013, this tome was discovered at a neighboring school for the deaf, where it had presumably been stored since 1854, as evidenced by a note written inside dating to that year. The library owns no records from this period, so exactly how long it was gone is anybody's guess, but it is said, librarian Stan Campbell said, it's been out of the library for at least 150 years. And then finally, The Law of Nations, by Emmerich Del Vattel, on loan from the New York Society Library in New York City. How many years?
400.
Jeez.
I'm going big.
221 years. 5 months into his first presidential term, George Washington borrowed this legal manifesto from the historic New York Society Library. For the next 221 years, it remained stowed away at his Virginia home, and organization officials wondered if they'd ever see it again. "We're not actively pursuing overdue fines," joked head librarian Mark Bartlett, "but we would be very happy to see the book return." His wish was granted when Mount Vernon staff finally sent it back in 2010. Luckily, it dodged a whopping $300,000 late fee. The hell, George Washington?
Wait, yeah.
What's going
on? I guess
he
didn't lie about it. He's like, "No, I have it." I'm not giving it back, though.
What happened? Now, I don't understand why he didn't bring it back. It's the father of our country. And by
the
way,
he was kind of busy.
A little. But the book is called The Law of Nations. How ironic is that? George Washington does not bring back a book called The Law of Nations that he borrowed.
Also, couldn't he just buy it? Why didn't he just go get a copy?
Yeah.
Going back to the previous one, that was Volume 2, you said?
Yes.
So what do you think Volume 1 and the Volume 2?
Volume 2. It's much more interesting than the
much
first one.
Much more interesting. The first one had a much shorter title.
Right.
Nobody bought it.
This one has 50,000 words in the title alone. And it's Volume 2. Boy, this Charles Rowland guy really had a lot to say, didn't he? That seems to me like a hell of a book to smack somebody and your friend in the head with. That seems like that one might be nice and thick, do some damage.
Do you think there's a third and a fourth?
I don't know.
I would hope so.
It's such a fascinating topic.
At least a third make the trilogy.
Yeah. All right.
This just in from 765. My grandmother returned a copy of Little Women to the Marion, Indiana Public Library in 1976. She had borrowed it in 1917. They waived the fine.
Wow. I'm sorry, Little Women?
Yep.
Louisa May Alcott. What year was that book written? She checked it out in 1917. Was it a brand? Because I'm thinking it was a pretty new book at that point.
That was published in 1868.
Oh, 1868.
So, yeah,
okay.
So it had been out for a while.
All right, it had been out for a while. Okay. Wow. I remember you guys making fun of me because I played that card game, Authors. Yeah, see?
Sorry, my mic's still on.
I would go to the Hild Library. I would see a movie, and I'd come home, and I'd play Authors.
All right. See, now you're a nerd.
Oh, that makes me a nerd because I played a card game. So you're calling Stephen Tobolowsky a nerd?
Was he doing the same thing?
Well, he played Authors. an irregular. He wrote about it in his last book.
Then yes.
Okay. Authors was a great game. I can't believe every time it's brought up, I get mocked incessantly. It's a great game. I'm sure there are people listening right now who grew up playing that card game, Authors. Not only was it a fun card game, but you learned who wrote books at a young age.
Right. Right after you diagram sentences.
That's exactly right. In between slapping guys with Hot Wheels tracks, I would diagram sentences and learn that Louise May Alcott wrote Little Women. I learned that. You know why? Because I played Authors when I was a kid. That's how I learned who wrote that book.
You didn't just read the book?
I did eventually, but I played Authors before I read those books, and I knew who wrote them. So, all right, we got a break, and the news is coming up next.